Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with our very special lady and lover of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear. And yes, we do love the Word of God, and we know the listeners do too. Because without the Word of God, how would we really ever know Him?
We couldn't.
So we are continuing our study of Hebraic Roots 101, the Feast of Trumpets, coming soon upon us, actually a week from Friday. So let's first thank the Lord for these appointments that He made for all mankind.
Oh Lord, our God, we thank You for all Your creation. You are a perfect God, full of wisdom, mercy, and love. May we bring You much pleasure and a smile to Your face. We continue to long for a deeper presence of Your glory and divine protection during these trying times. We lift up to You these recent prayer requests and for our lost loved ones' salvation as we push through the darkness that surrounds us, knowing an assured everlasting victory lies soon ahead. Meanwhile, we will continue in our quest, speaking truth to the lost as we anxiously await the shout of Your last trumpet. Bless our president, send rain to California, and may tonight's program bless you and those who are listening. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, any important news to comment on?
Well, the lawlessness continues.
No shock there.
I know, and it will continue. Actually, I read that if Biden does not win, a civil war will assuredly break out almost everywhere while constantly contesting it, at least until January 20th, because then Nancy Pelosi can take over as acting president. You know, it could even go to the Supreme Court, and of course we are all familiar with George Bush's pick of leftist Justice Roberts.
Ephesians 6 is definitely picking up speed.
And these radicals have a demonic strategy all ready to go. And Biden is just an empty suit, and I say it all the time, because the radical Dems like AOC and the Sanders squad, well, they're going to be running the country.
Socialism.
Yes, a redistribution of wealth and no gas, no oil.
The new Green Deal.
It's stinking thinking.
Kind of a sulfur smell.
That's clever. Mm-hmm. I hear some people say these are very uncertain times. But you know what? God has always been certain that the end times would be perilous. I think it's a good time to read those, a couple of those verses from 2 Timothy chapter 3.
For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Well, that certainly covers it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, read verse 12.
All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Okay, that's not saying things will get better and have true revivals all over the world, as some are claiming and saying it's knowledge from the Lord. And Paul concludes that chapter by reminding us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
So things aren't falling apart.
Nope, they're falling into place. Mm-hmm. And besides the lawlessness, COVID is still another crisis the globalists will just not let go to waste. Some believe they might even be the authors of it. And we here in America are quite aware for the elite and powerful to form a new world order. America must lose its strength in all areas.
Well, you know, it's a matter of God versus anti-God.
Yes, and it's very easy to see.
Yeah, Romans 1 mentality.
For sure. Can you even imagine how it will be after we leave?
Well, I think we do know because it's in his book.
Yes. And sadly, we see particularly the mainline churches, but even spilling into the evangelical churches, how pastors are failing its people. Few are speaking in any detail about the soon coming blessed hope in our glorious future, but rather some, not all, are saying that we ourselves will fight and win, making the world a better place before Christ can return. Which in these last days, well, that's just an unscriptural theology, and actually it's called Kingdom Now Dominionism.
They are missing the roadmap.
Few are correctly studying end time prophecy, and especially not through the lens of our first century Jewish forefathers.
Also, 30% of so-called evangelicals are now denying that Christ is God.
Yeah, and I guess they don't think that you should overturn the Roe versus Wade thing. And also 56% support gay marriage.
You know, they are falling away from the truth of Scripture.
As 1 Timothy 4 says, they would. Specifically in the latter days. You know, another prophecy being fulfilled is many are giving their ear to doctrines of demons.
I guess we can no longer call ourselves evangelical.
Yeah, sort of like the Democrats are being hijacked, so are evangelicals. So let's just say we are fundamental born-again Bible believers.
Amen.
Who, while piercing the darkness, we actually look favorably on these days as more signs of his coming keep happening.
It's also a golden opportunity to witness.
For sure, because there are desperate people out there, and many are ready to listen. So, church, just do your job.
Amen. Okay, how's Israel doing?
Well, COVID is hitting them real hard. And a national lockdown is very possible, and they have also been dealing with record heat, therefore experiencing some power outages. On the other hand, Israel and the United States is very happy with the Abraham Accord to be ceremonially signed in Washington as soon as next week, if not delayed, to allow more time for other nations to join, which does look promising.
But wasn't the UAE already been friendly with Israel, although more behind the scenes?
That's correct, which is why we need to say the UAE has for a while, well, they've had pretty good relations with Israel, like on defense and economical and some shared intelligence. It's interesting that the timing of this agreement just happened to follow Israel's announcement to legally annex portions of the West Bank, because President Trump, they knew would approve it at the UN.
That was a no-no.
Therefore, this was the carrot. If Israel stepped back from that acclamation to legally claim sovereignship, the UA would agree to openly work together and encourage other countries to join in. By the way, Israel did try to annex East Jerusalem in 1980, but was not recognized by the UN. Apparently not enough votes. And even the United States said, no way. Now, guess who was our president back then?
Jimmy Carter, a Palestinian buddy.
And he still is.
So there was a purpose.
Right. The UAE didn't just say okay out of the goodness of their heart. There was an important alternative motive.
And that's the bottom line.
So in a sense, Israel has just agreed that they really don't care about openly declaring to the international world that Judea and Samaria are legally theirs outright, which is not pleasing to God, since he did, after all, win it back for them in the 1967 miraculous war.
And, you know, that was a miracle.
Oh, big time. Even 19-year-old at the time, IDF soldier Gershon Solomon testified he saw an army of angels stepping in to fight the Syrians on the Golan Heights. So their enemies ran away because they testified they saw them too. Gershon had also been run over by an army tank and very badly injured, but God totally healed him.
Well, you can read his testimony, and that's still online.
It's truly awesome. So for Israel to not legally annex what is a good part of Jerusalem is sad, because it should have been done a long time ago. But they didn't want to make the Muslims angry. So if other Arab nations join in with this accord, you can be sure each will want their own carrot too.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. And watch for any giveaway sign of Judea-Samarian land to the Palestinians, or the Temple Mount to be handed over to the international community, the UN. That would certainly be Satan's carrot.
And we're out of here.
Amen. Meanwhile, over here, with God's help, we'll deal with COVID, but it surely is affecting every aspect of our lives, and evil men will do all they can to keep it going.
While Big Pharma keeps smiling, who will make billions of dollars?
That's right. And last week, our U.S. government signed a contract with Pfizer for just under $2 billion of our tax money for 600 million doses before the end of the year of a vaccine. More on all that next month.
Yeah, if we're still here.
Amen.
You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistry.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you to our mailing list for for our newsletter updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, we are talking about Rosh Hashanah, which has many significant identifiable titles. That is important to look at, for it is it's their new year.
Or chief of the year.
It's a new beginning. Rosh means head and Shana means year.
And their meals include fruit and honey.
Yes, to symbolize a sweet new year. You have another?
Yom Terah.
That is the Hebrew name and means the day of the awakening blast. To awake the righteous dead. Now, Hebrew roots teaches that Rosh Hashanah would, some year, be the time for the resurrection. And the Orthodox still believe it today.
And you know, it's the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve.
That's right. On the sixth day, which is a Friday, probably just before sundown, as the Sabbath was about to occur. Then God rested.
Interesting. That matches this year.
I know. It's very interesting, because this year, Rosh Hashanah, also begins on a Friday at sundown. And that won't happen again until 2023. Do you have another name?
The coronation.
Yes. And they bake a round loaf of bread to symbolize a crown.
Well, because all kings were coronated on Rosh Hashanah.
And so we believe Jesus Christ will be crowned king as well on a Rosh Hashanah when we all arrive in heaven. Another clue for us as Jesus follows his own customs. They also sing Psalm 45, which is all about the Messiah and his bride.
Another idiomatic phrase is, open the gates.
Isaiah 26:2 says, open the gates that the righteous may enter in.
They are closed on Yom Kippur.
That's right, it's called the Nilah, which coincides with Jesus' return at the end of the tribulation. Those who have not accepted Jesus by then, it will be too late.
The gates are closed.
And we'll talk more about that. Actually, Yom Kippur in 2 weeks.
Also called the Day of Judgment.
There are two of these, actually, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's also called the Day of Judgment. But God is the Ancient of Days sitting upon a throne in Daniel 7, while books containing the deeds of all humanity are open before him. And that's confirmed in Malachi 3:16, which is why it is also called
Day of Remembrance.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, next week we will look at this and a few others and the Jewish wedding in more detail. But tonight we just wanted to touch briefly on all the various names. So another idiomatic phrase used for Rosh Hashanah is
no one knows the day or the hour.
That's right, because it lasts 2 days. You know, in Mark 13, especially verses 35 through 37, is a great example of the detail.
Mm-hmm. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming.
Okay, now here comes the light bulb.
In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning.
That's right. Jesus is being literally specific here. Please read verse 36.
Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.
Why be anxiously awaiting and watching? Well, because there's a special crown for us that is called the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8.
Also, arise.
Well, obviously, for it's the resurrection of the dead.
Well, you know, another expression for Rosh Hashanah is the hidden day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's because it's a new moon that is barely visible the first night, which is why it lasts for 2 days, to be sure they saw it, and would then usher in the next month. Again, a type of new beginnings. And always they would cook a festive meal, as confirmed in 1 Samuel 20. Now, this is very interesting. It was a Jewish rule, and it was only on a Sabbath or a new moon that you could see the king or a man of God. And this is confirmed in 2 Kings 4:23.
What about when the two coincide?
All right. As surmised from Isaiah 66:23, that the next millennium, which will be the seventh, will begin some year when a Sabbath and a new moon are on the same day.
As it does this year.
Mm-hmm. And Rosh Hashanah is the only feast that also must occur on a new moon, and is also an extra high Sabbath already. But this year, it also falls on a regular Saturday Sabbath.
Psalms 81:3 in the original says to blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon on our feast day.
Mm-hmm. Again, the beginning of the month is determined by the first visible sighting, and the shofar is blown in one long blast. Numbers 10:10 states that silver trumpets should also be blown on all new moons to sanctify the day and the offerings. However, on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah, 100 shofars were blown to differentiate that it was the new year.
And at the last trumpet, they would celebrate.
Amen. And rabbis in Israel are trying to get permission right now to blow the shofar on the Temple Mount this year. And they haven't done that since the last temple stood in the first century.
So another historic event.
That's right. So when any new month is announced, the people have fellowship, and after a blessing is said, the traditional greeting of peace are given to one another. Shalom Aleichem.
Peace be with you.
And the response would be, Aleichem Shalom.
Upon you peace.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember as a Catholic saying that during Mass as well. Anyway, each new month was a time of fresh dedication to Yahweh and of blessing Him while seeking His direction for the days ahead. Okay, you have another name?
The Wedding of the Messiah.
Right, and we will expound on this next week because it's important to see how Jesus uses wedding terminology often, and it was the father that decided when the groom should go get his bride. When the Hadar of Isaiah 26, the wedding chamber, was ready to his specifications, and she didn't know for sure when that would be, but she did have many hints from the groom's close friends, especially if it, when it was getting close.
Well, you know, like we have some very big hints right now.
We do. From Jesus' same friends. Remember the two who showed up at the Transfiguration in Matthew 17:3?
Moses and Elijah.
Of course, our friends too, because Moses penned the Torah, and Elijah is known as the prophet of all the prophets, who also penned the scriptures, which tell us how it will be and what signs to look for. We can know as the bride when to be expecting a trumpet shout from afar, and we'll meet him in the air. And very soon, perhaps. By the way, all honeymoons had to be for a period of 7 for completion, which is why we will be in heaven for 7 years while the tribulation just happens to be going on down here. Remember, God purposely organized detailed wedding requirements for his first chosen as an example for us, using particular phrases that Jesus would also use to give us huge clues about how it will all happen. So, we won't be ignorant, but it's always our choice to search it out. Proverbs 25:2, and I say that a lot. As Paul clearly states in Romans 15, that the things written before is now for our learning, for the church. It's like gathering clues to find the treasure, those gold nuggets that so excite us when we discover one. And the more difficult the treasure is to find, the more we become like him and closer to him, so that not only do we know him better, he knows us too. You know, it's like a child when our father hides a prize and how excited we get when we find it. And the harder it is, the better, because it brings greater satisfaction. So we'll delve a little deeper into our roots next week. And let me say again, unless one knows at least some of their customs, we will continue to look at the scriptures through Western thinking eyes. Which is why I encourage you to learn just even a basic knowledge of the Jewish side of Jesus. Always feel free to send me your questions on this topic. Remember, there is a boatload of knowledge on our webpage. And don't let the enemy tell you that you can't learn this, because that's a lie, just like he lies about everything. You know, there's the supreme God who sent his only son, so anyone can have eternal life with him. There is still time. So right now, give your heart and life to the Lord. Don't wait. Admit you are a sinner and invite him in. If you really mean it, then you are sealed for his coming kingdom. And by the way, if you think you must wait till you can stop being a sinner, that's stinking thinking. I'm still a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. So get saved. And then let God do the changing. Because in and of ourselves, you know, we are just nothing. We will always fail. And then start reading his word, and he will supernaturally grow in you and change you from the inside out. It is a miracle, and it can be your miracle. So just do it. We'll leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, true, lasting peace. He's the only one that can do that. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in many different ways. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. So have a good week. Tell someone about Jesus, and we'll see you next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.